Father God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for our church, Father. Thank you for the ability to come to your house to worship, Lord. I give you all thanks, Father. Thank you for grace, for mercy, and for my salvation. Father, I ask that you'd be with Pastor Joe. Lord, just bring the words that you need, that person that's out there, Lord, that needs to hear that they'll have the courage to step forth so that we can minister to them, Lord. I ask, Lord, now that you would just open our pockets and purses so that we could return a portion of what you so richly blessed us with, Lord. I thank you for all the many blessings. Father, without you, we're nothing. With you, we can do everything. Help us to be about your work and your will, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Morning, church. Just want to take a minute real quick and just let you know, the song I'm going to do for you this morning is a new song for me, so if I mess the thing up, y'all just bear with me. But the pastor and I were talking last week, and Keith and I talked about it yesterday, is that we've just been to too many funerals lately. It just seems like the Lord's calling people home right and left, and you know, life is tough. And sometimes we just need to come into church and just get a touch from the Lord. And that's just one of the things this song talks about. And the pastor preached on this probably about a couple of months ago. When I heard the song, I was like, man, that'd go perfect with that sermon. But this came to mind, and sometimes, you know, life is a little difficult. And, you know, it can get tough, but, you know, by faith, we can get a touch from the Lord. One day I will stand in the presence of Jesus, and I'll see the Lord face to face. With my very eyes, I'll witness His glory when I finally finish my race. But the burdens of life sometimes get so heavy that I need to touch Him somehow, but I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now.
Reach out and touch the hem of His garment. I know He will make me whole. For He's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue that flows? Someday I will walk through the gates of that city. By grace I will make it somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch you now.
Of angels and millions of saints round the throne. Well, I'll worship the Lord and sing hallelujah without all these troubles I've known. And I'll see those hands that lifted my burdens, and I'll see those scars on His brow. But I don't have to wait.
That flows. Someday
Good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Got a little different topic this morning. We had a little different topic last week, I guess we could say. I'm a little funny, is that every now and then I'll be in a meeting or I'll be somewhere and somebody will say something and God will jump on me. We were here one night, I don't know if it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and Brother Tommy Bruce, he was saying something, maybe getting ready to pray, and he made a comment about if. God got a hold of me, and I went home and got a message on if. If. And I was there yesterday at the conference, and there's one statement that was made, and of course I grab my notepad, and I get to write, and I get excited, and sometimes that's the way it is. Well, you know, we were here Monday night at Celebrate Recovery. And Brother Tom Payne, you made a statement. And I told you, I said, God jumped on me when you said that. And Brother Tom made a comment about, you know, sometimes when we're trying to help somebody, and you can reach out to them, and you can show them the love of God, and you can even, you know, this is what really aggravates people, when they get in their wallet. You know, you get in your wallet and you help somebody and you send them to a drug rehab place. And you do it, you know, because you love them. And they go out there and they do good for a while, but they fall off the wagon. You get mad. Sometimes we help them and it don't work. And even like going to the prison and working with Celebrate Recovery, you go through it and you get people in your class and they get out and they do good for a while. Brother Tom, sometimes you see them again. It might be 2 years, they're back in the class and they're there. And the comment was made that there was a young man that went through and he come back. Well, how'd you end up back in here? He said, I did not stay in the herd. And tonight, this morning, I want to preach a message, stay in the herd. And you say, well, you're talking about cows, you're talking about, well, sheep. I said, well, they asked me upstairs, I said, wildebeest. Well, it can be whatever you want it to be. You can compare it, you're going to see it in your mind, because the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, is going to speak to you. But I tell you what we're talking about, we're talking about staying in the house of God. Amen. If you think you can be saved by the grace of God and go out there and live and not need to come to the God's house, that's not true. I want to read scripture out of Hebrews chapter number 10, and I want to begin in the 16th verse, but our text verse and primary verse is going to be number 25, and then I'm going to just try to share with you the things that God has stirred in my heart really all week. And sometimes the way it is, as time goes on, the more I think about something, the bigger it gets, until sometimes I wonder if I can even cover it all in one message. But I want God to be the leader this morning, amen? It's not about what I think. It's not about what I want. This is not my time. This is God's time. And this is God's church. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 16, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which we have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now let us pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the understanding, Lord, and the mind, and Lord, the heart that would be pleasing to you. Lord, every verse of Scripture that's read, every word that's said, that it would lift you up. God, if there's somebody here, Lord, in this meeting this morning, God, I know that there are, that you'd speak to their hearts and their minds, and you'd help them know, Lord, where they need to be. Most importantly, God, if there's anybody lost, that you'd touch them through your Holy Spirit, and they'd come to the realization that they need to be saved, that they need a relationship with you more than anything else. Force them, God, through the movement of your Spirit to have to think about it, to think about the fact that they didn't just appear here by chance, that they didn't evolve, but they were the divine creation of a living God who has a purpose for their life and a plan for their future. God, we give you all the honor, all the glory, Lord, for everything that you do and all you're going to do, and we acknowledge and we understand that everything, Lord, is to uplift and glorify you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, I want to preach on this subject this morning, stay in the herd. Well, why is it important that we stay in the herd? And I want to give you a verse of Scripture out of 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. This is where Peter wrote, after he had learned himself what it was like to get away. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, you may think that you're strong. You may think that you have ability. You may think that you can stand. But I'll tell you what I need. I need to be in the presence of God's people. I need to be in God's house. And what I need in my life more than I need anything else is I need worship. You were designed to worship. And without worship, everything else is not going to have the full meaning that it should have. That's why even when we come together and we're in a Celebrate Recovery meeting, we play the songs and we sing and we lift up a praise to the Lord that we might worship Him, because you need that worship to be able to get you and your mind ready to where you can receive the Word of God. You need to be in the house of God so you can hear the Word of God. You know, when I thought about this, and I thought about why we need to stay in the herd, and I thought about how many people, in all honesty, that have been harmed in the herd. And I want to deal with that for just a minute, and then we're going to move on to the things that God has given us. But I want to give you three things that should not be found in the herd. Number one, there should be no wolves in the herd. Now, folks, I want to tell you something that's sad, but it's true, how many times that people have been harmed by wolves in the herd. You know, they're in God's house, and they're trying to serve, and they put their trust in leadership. They put their trust in a pastor, or they put their trust in a deacon, or in an elder, or in a Sunday school teacher. If you trust them, you follow them, till you realize that maybe all along they've been pretending. Maybe all along they've really not been where they need to be with God, or they're not right with God themselves. You know, sometimes preachers need to use the altar. Sometimes pastors need prayer. Sometimes Sunday school teachers need to come and lay down their burdens just like everybody else. And when we forget that and we don't do that, what happens is you can be in a position of influence. It can go to your head and you can go in the wrong direction. I want to remind you, and I believe this with all my heart, that a pastor is a servant. A deacon is a servant. A Sunday school teacher is a servant. And if you're not a servant and you're not doing it with the right spirit, you probably do not need to be doing it. That's why there are people who are sitting at home right now who have been harmed in church, harmed by the herd. See, because of wolves in the herd. I'll tell you something else that should not be in the herd is there should be no bullies in the herd. You say, well, what do you mean? You know what a bully is. It's sad to even think about this story, but just this past week, there was a little 12-year-old girl right up the street from us, was bullied at school. She came home and she took her own life because she was bullied. Can I tell you, that's not the first time that's happened? Can I tell you it's getting more and more common? Can I tell you that people are staying away from church right now because when they go in, they look around, and I've heard people say this, well, it's pretty easy to see who runs this church. No, they say that. They say, I can see it, them right over there. Or, now, I'm not pointing at y'all over there, okay? That's, you know, I mean, over there. But they look and they say, that group, you can't get in that group. It's kind of like a clique. Let me tell you, there's no place for cliques in the house of God. I tell you what you need to do when you see somebody come in and they don't have a place. Now, folks, y'all might not believe this, but I am an extreme introvert. Y'all don't believe that. But when we have a group meeting or we have a party and we go over in the corner, y'all see me walking behind my wife. And I say, what's the matter with that stuck-up preacher? You know what I need? I need somebody to come up and talk to me. I love everybody. I'm everybody's friend. But I'm an introvert. And when you see an introvert come into a room and they're standing over there by themselves, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go up to them, put your arm around them, and say, let me. So you ain't got any work to do. Can you help us with this? Can you help us get cheers up? Can you help us fry alligator tail at the wild game banquet? But there are bullies in the herd. Here's what bullies do. Bullies always have to have their way. Bullies are selfish and they're cruel. Oh, they're workers in the church. They're busy in the church. But don't ask them if you can help them. We were up in LJ a few months ago. And my wife's parents, they got a little pasture. And a man up the street, he rented a pasture and he backed up and he let out about 10 cows. They said that every one of the cows was expecting. And we watched over a period of time that, you know, this one, it gave birth and this one gave birth. But there was one cow over there and it was twice as big as the rest of them. And it was expecting, and it was almost like the closer it got time for it to give birth and it saw these others giving birth, the meaner it got. I mean, this one would give birth, it's like it made that big cow mad. This one gave birth, it's like it made that cow mad. It run over and it would hit them and knock them over. And when they begin to eat, it would push them out of the way. You know, bullies are insensitive to others, and they think that things in the herd belong to them. Can I remind you that everything in this church belongs to God? Amen. And I'll tell you something, and I'm thankful for something that Pastor Quinn did when this church, when it was founded, it was put in the bylaws of this church, and everybody needs to know this, this church doesn't belong to these people in here. This church belongs to God. And if there's ever a time that this church ceases to exist, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The members are not going to sell it and split up the money. The bylaws say that the money has to go to a mission or a church of like faith and like belief. This doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Third thing, it should not be in the herd. No selfish critters. No selfish critters. If we have anything, it's because God gave it to us. And that's talent. That's ability. That's whatever we have. Now, I know people have been hurt in the herd. But I heard a preacher say this one time, and I really liked what he said, because folks dealing with hurts in church is nothing new. See, I've never not been in church. So I'm going to just say this. The meanest people I've ever known in my life were in church. Why? Because that's all I've ever known. But the people who have harmed me the most were in church. But I want to tell y'all something. If there comes a time that I'm no longer at Hiram First Baptist Church, here's something you need to know. I'm not going to lay my Bible down. I'm not going to walk out the door mad and say, I'm going to quit serving God. I'm going to quit preaching because if God is ever through with me here, folks, I'm on fire. He's got a place somewhere for me to go. Okay? And I'm not saying that God ain't called me nowhere, but here's the message that you need to understand. If you were hurt at your last church, come on somewhere else and serve God. Don't quit on God. I heard the pastor say, he said, every church is not like your last church. And every pastor is not like your last pastor. And folks, I want you to understand something. God has not changed. Now let me tell you why you should stay in the herd. I want to tell you some things that you should find in the herd. Number one, you should find love. You should find love in the herd. Now what does love do? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it teaches us some things, and I just want to give you some of those points. Love demonstrates patience. That's right. Love doesn't expect somebody to be perfect all the time, but it demonstrates patience. Love also shows kindness. Well, we know what kindness is. And can I tell you, there's never any reason not to be kind. Love also restores. Love restores. Love gives hope. Love does not fail. Love is something that when people realize it and they understand it, no matter what state they're in, they'll find that there's help and there's hope for him, for them. I heard a man yesterday, he was given an example. He was said, we had a Celebrate Recovery meeting. We had a man come in, he sat over on the back row, and he just kind of leaned the chair back, and he said, he looked rough. He said, somebody said to me, you need to go just check on him, see about him. He said, I walked up to him, and first thing I said was, how you doing? He said, who needs to know? He thought about it a minute. He said, well, my name's Mike. What's your name? He said, why do you ask? He said, I backed up for just a minute, and I thought about it. I said, Lord, I got to try a different approach. He said, I just looked at him a minute, and he said, I knew I needed to do something. I said, you know, why don't you come on up front and sit with me? I mean, come on down here. You can hear better. You can see better. And he said, he convinced the guy, and he went up, and he sat by him through the service. And he said, after service, he said, I'm just trying to figure out how to pull this guy in. The guy's sitting there, and it's like a lot of people that come to church. He said, I looked over at him, and I said, I'll tell you what. He said, we're having a meeting the same night. He said, look, I need some help with the chairs. Can you help me? Can you get here just a few minutes early and help me get the chairs out? And the guy thought for a minute. He said, well, I guess I could do that. He said that guy showed up, and sure enough, he worked. And he said he just kept coming. He said, I kept finding things for him to do. He said, God got a hold of him. God saved him. God changed his life. God moved in his life. He said, but it took me reaching out to him and pulling him in. He said, then we made a tag for him, and if we give him his name, they said, Chairman. I tell you what love's going to do. It's going to see deeper than the skin, and it's going to reach down into somebody's heart and find a way to reach them and pull them. See, in the herd you find love, in the herd you find safety. There's a song that Kendra and I used to sing with her mother years ago, and the name of the song was, I Need the Prayers of Those I Love. Now you think about that. There's reasons why we need to be in the house of God. We need to be lifting one another up. In the church, there is security. I love the verse in the book of Psalms where it talks about us coming underneath His wings. I want to tell you, there's something about coming into the house of God and being around your church family and knowing that the devil's out there and we're praying for you in here and he can't have you because we're not going to surrender to him. In the church, or in the herd, you find family. Here's what family does. Family is something that when you hurt, they hurt. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9, I want to give you a few verses. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall not withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. See, in the herd, you have family. When you hurt, they hurt. When you have a trouble, they have a trouble. When you have a funeral, they pray for you. They show up and they provide food and they put their arms around you and they reach out to you. In the herd, there's warmth. You can freeze to death out there. And people do. Because the longer you stay away from the herd, the colder it gets. You know what happens when you get used to staying away from the herd? You know, the first Sunday you stay away, there's a reason, there's an excuse. Sometimes the second Sunday, there's a reason, there's an excuse. The third Sunday, it's a little easier. The fourth Sunday, it's a little easier. Until it gets hard to even have the desire. Stay away from the herd too long, and you get to where you can't hear the voice. It's calling you back. So what should the herd do? And I thought about these things, and I mentioned earlier that our youth, our children, are missionaries that we send to a time that we will not see. The first thing the herd should do is it should teach the young. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4 through verse number 7, it gives us a couple of verses that go all the way back to the writing of Moses to the Pentateuch. Thousands of years in 1410 B.C. approximately when these words were penned, how many times have these words been handed down? But it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child, and the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The herd should teach the young. The herd should also protect the young. You ever noticed how when you watch some of these shows and they're showing the herds and the animals, about how when they're out there and they're out in the plains and they've got the young, and the enemy knows that they're young in the midst. And the enemy comes, and it sometimes is on the outskirts of the herd. And it goes around and it's looking for a vulnerable point. You ever notice how that the mother will take the young one and she'll move that young one into the inner part of the herd. And she'll get them into the middle to where the enemy that's circling on the outside cannot get into the inside. Can I tell you that's how it ought to be in the house of God? Can I tell you that's how we ought to be? Now that's one thing with our youth and we love them. But I want to tell you something. We got some spiritual youth here. We got some that teach us. We got some that are on fire for God. It's not just youth and age, but it's a young Christian. When you see somebody that's just gotten saved, we don't just say, "Praise God, you're on your own." We say, "Get in here and let us get around them and protect them." Galatians 6:1 says, "If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You see, something else that the herd should do is it should protect the weak. Do you know that there are certain species of animals that when they see one among them that is weak, they begin to devour it? The Bible says, "Take heed that ye don't devour one another." But if we look at what's going on, what about us and our relationship with God and in our position in the house of God? What do we do when we see the one that's weak? Do we judge them? Do we push them down? Or do we do what the Word of God tells us to do and surround them and bring them into the midst and love them and help them and encourage them and try to see that they gain strength? See, Romans 15:1 has a verse that parallels that one. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." See, one thing I want us to understand that the herd should do. Now, folks, I've already mentioned I like Celebrate Recovery, but I'll tell you why you need to be in the herd. The goal is not to be able to come to Celebrate Recovery and just get delivered. That's great. We want that. We want you saved. But everything you do is to honor God. So you get delivered so you glorify Him. But here's something I want us to understand. The goal is ultimately not to need Celebrate Recovery. See, the goal is ultimately that we train our young and we train the weak so that they don't have to go through the hurts, the troubles, the pains that are come from walking away from God and away from the herd and being out in the world. The goal is to see that they never end up there. See, the herd should teach the young, protect the young, protect the weak. But the herd also knows where food can be found. You see, sometimes you get away from the herd and you think you can do good by yourself. But if you've ever noticed in these nature shows, the herd naturally moves. They know where the water's at. They know where the food's at. And they move in the direction on a regular basis. But if one ever gets weeded out by themselves over here, they're very, very vulnerable. Very vulnerable for the enemy. You know, the Bible does compare us to a certain animal. Most often, that animal is sheep. Psalms 23, verse 1 and verse number 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And what I believe that teaches me in the context of this message is God knows what we need. He knows how to feed our souls, and we come into the house of God. And this is something that's very real and very important to me, that I know that people get up and they go to work and they've got stressful jobs. They drive in traffic and they come home and they've got kids that need homework done. And they sometimes, even to the extent that it's difficult to get everything done within the day. I once heard a story of a mother. She was a single mother, had three children trying to work and take care of them and do homework. And she was giving her testimony. She said, "I woke up at night. I was sitting in the floor about 1 o'clock in the morning and I fell asleep sitting there because I'd been up cooking, doing laundry, doing homework, making sure they had everything for tomorrow. Then I was down in the floor picking up the toys that they left. And due to utter exhaustion, I fell asleep sitting there." Do you know why you need to come in the house of God? Because you need to get enough strength to help you make it for the rest of the week. You need to come and let God refresh your soul. You need to drink from living water and from a fountain that'll be able to help you. And I realize and I understand that. That's why you need to be a part of the herd. Psalms 25, verse 23, verse 5, the first part of the verse, says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You see, when the herd's in a dangerous place and it's there and it's eating from those rich grounds, what ought to happen is those that are strong are standing on the outside. It's like this. They're over there eating, but I'm looking for the enemy. You know that when we come into the house of God, we ought to come in believing and trusting that God's going to send us food. But we're praying and we're looking for the enemy. Yeah. We're knowing that he's out there. Not that we're necessarily afraid. We have victory in Christ. But you can't forget about him. And you cannot think that you can get away from the herd and face him by yourself. Because you can't. See, another thing the herd should do is keep watch. What did Peter say? He said, "Be sober, be vigilant." In other words, you better pay attention. You see, the man that wrote this, Peter, what happened to him? He was with the Lord, and oftentimes Christ would speak, and Peter would say, "No, no, it's not going to be that way. They're not going to take you." What did he do? He drew his sword when they come to take Jesus, and he fought. And he cut off the ear of the servant. But just a short time later, he got away from the herd. And he was over there three times, the scripture says. He denied the Lord with a curse. He had forgotten what Jesus had told him just a short time earlier. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So he went through this trial. You know what? He didn't believe it. He didn't pay attention. And sometimes that's what happens to people. Just like this man that was mentioned, the reason he come back through the gates of the jail, right back through rehab, right back to the same trouble, right back to the same crossroads. Did not stay in the herd. I have counseled folks, And I sat down with them, and they tell me, here, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this in my life, and I'm dealing with this. And I say, here's what you need to do. You need to be faithful in the house of God. Can I tell you, folks, you cannot disciple somebody that it takes a search party to find. There's enough discipleship here that I believe anything you need in your life, you'll be able to receive it through some ministry in this church. And there's plenty of work for you to do. But you can't sit at home and blame God for all your trouble when you're not willing to follow Him and do what He tells you to do. See, we keep watch for the enemy. We pray for one another. Because what happens when you get away from the herd? When you get away from the herd, you end up with the wrong group. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this. Says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now you think about that for just a minute. My mama used to put it this way. She'd tell me, she'd say, boy, if you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Say, well, that offends me. Well, let me help you. Let me help you for just a minute. And I've thought about this so many times. Why do young people take drugs? Why? Let's start with this. They're hanging around with the wrong people. Why does anybody take drugs? They've been hanging around with the wrong crowd. They've been in the wrong herd. They've been in the wrong place. And we think, well, I don't want that kind of preaching. That's not important. Let me tell you what's important. It's important that your kids and my kids know that it's important who they hang around. Amen. And here's why. How many times have I talked with mothers? And this has happened more than once. They say, my son didn't do it. He was just in the car. See, I want you to understand something. This is why you stay in the herd. You end up with the wrong group. You don't have to be guilty. All you have to be is an accessory. What does that mean? That means I was off with my friends and they pulled up to the store. And old Jimbo, he got out and he went inside and I was just sitting there. He come running back out and jumped in the car and said, go. Uh-huh. That's all it takes. All it takes. I know a guy down in Noonan, his mother works with us. She said that her son was simply in a car when the guy got out with a 3-pound hammer and tore up a Coke machine and he spent 2 years in jail because he was in the car. Let me tell you, it matters who you hang around. It matters what herd you're a part of. Young people, it matters. I can remember one time when I was a teenage boy. I didn't go to a whole lot of parties. That's okay. Folks, young people, it's okay not to get invited to parties. That just means you must be living for God. Okay? But I remember I was invited to a party, and these was kinfolk. Not going to go any farther than that, Mama. We had kinfolk. So I got to go to the party. And I was down there, and I want to tell you, I saw things that I'd never seen before. I saw things on a big screen TV I'd never seen before. And this boy walked up to me, and he held his hand out like that, and he had two things I'd never seen. They was about that long, and they were rolled in paper. And he said, come on, we're going down here behind the barn, and we're going to smoke these. You know what? I was raised by a preacher. I was also saved by the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go with them. And it wasn't long till I called Mama. I said, I know we're kinfolk, but I don't need to be here. When you get in the wrong herd, you're in the wrong place. And here's what I want you to understand. Eagles were never meant to cluck with turkeys. We were meant to soar above the heights and everything that we do to look down that our lives might honor and glorify God. Eagles were meant to soar high above. They should not be down on the ground walking around with other birds. See, not only when you get away from the herd, do you eat with the wrong group? Or do you get with the wrong group, but you eat from the wrong table. See, God's prepared what we need, and I believe that with all my heart. You say, well, things just aren't happening in my life. Trust God today. He'll be there tomorrow. That's what I've learned in my life. I wish God would, you know, we say, well, I wish God would send a text message. Well, He has. We got to believe it. We got to do what it says today so that we'll get more revelation tomorrow. But when you get away from the herd, you eat from the wrong table. What happens when you eat from the wrong table is you end up putting things into your body that should not be there. Very simple. If you're involved with somebody that's telling you to do something you know is not right, get away from them. You're with the wrong herd. The third thing, when you get away from the herd, and this is what so sadly happens, is you can end up devoured by the enemy. Remember what Peter said? He said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You ever watch these nature shows? What do they get? When one gets weeded out away from the herd, and they get over here and they're vulnerable. They're weak, they're young, they're in trouble, or they're a rebel. And they think that they can do it on their own. Before you know it, the lion's on them. Before you know it, the lion's devouring them. I want to tell you something. What God wants to do is provide what you need in your life. And one thing that we need to understand as a body of Christ is we need to come together. We need to love one another. We need to protect one another. We need to care for one another. Because we don't want the enemy to devour any. I made this statement as a pastor. This is a goal that I have. I never want one of our youth to walk out the door of this church and go out into the world, go to college, get away from God, and not be saved. Right. Most important. Now, folks, I believe God wants to save everybody. But that's my heart's desire, and that's my belief, that if we do what God wants us to do, God can do things in this church, and people are already talking about it. They'll say, that had to be God. Yeah. It's not the people. It's Him. See, when you get away from the herd, you could be devoured by the enemy, but sometimes you could be this way. You can forget your way home. See, you get away so long and you stay away from the herd. The longer you're away from the herd, the easier it is to stay away from the herd. There's a verse of scripture in James that kind of mentions that. It's in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And what that means is the excess of sinfulness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, it says, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. Like he looks in a mirror, and he looks at himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, you can deny the voice of God. You can deny the presence of God. You can deny serving God until you get to the point that it's harder and harder to hear from God. Stay away from church long enough and it'll be so easy you'll always have an excuse. And as I began to think about this message and I got to this point, I thought, Lord, this is not all. And then God gave me this. What happens when a wanderer comes back to the herd? And I'm going to be done in just a minute. See, sometimes when a wanderer's been away, you know, it's that one of those people, whatever they've done, and they come back, sometimes the wanderer is rejected. See, I've heard it said, and I've had some, and this has come to me from people that have been in the world and they've been in church, they say the church is the only place where they shoot the wounded. Amen. Had a man tell me this one time standing in the churchyard, and he was in trouble. He said, my friends at the bar treated me better than the church. He said, at least when I was down, they didn't kick me down further. What should the church do? What should we do when someone's away from the herd and they come back? I want to tell you what you should do. I want you to imagine the herd. It's just like this right here. You see one coming, the herd ought to just take a round ball and it begins to open up. And it makes a horseshoe and it makes a place in the middle. Right in the middle is the safest place to be. And they open up the middle and they allow that wanderer to come right into the middle. And then they encircle around them. And they wrap around them and they protect them and they cover them and they care for them and they reach out to them and they bind up their wounds and they show them the love of Christ until they're able to stand on their own again. And God forbid that we're anything other than a hospital for sinners. Amen. Not a hotel for saints. Wow. What was that Galatians again? It says, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. There's a lot of people think they're spiritual. Pharisees, they thought they were. But what's spiritual? Spiritual is somebody that understands, there go I, but for the grace of God. So you open up a place in the herd right in the middle, and you enclose around them so that the enemy cannot get to them. I want them to go ahead and prepare and come with a verse of song. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to do great work. I can't do anything myself. But it might be this morning that God spoke to somebody's heart and you know that you're not part of the family of God. You want to be. You say, well, I'd love to have that relationship. I'd love to have that closeness. I'd love to have that kind of love in my heart. Well, you can. You just have to accept what Christ has already done. You can't do it yourself. We can't be good enough. And there might be somebody here that just says, well, I just want to be closer to God. I want to be more of what God wants me to be. I want to find maybe even this, the closeness that I had at one time in my life. Now, there's been times in my life, because I've been walking with the Lord a long time, but I can remember times, you know, you go through revival and you just feel so revived. And you come out and you think, and I've said this to myself, this is the way that I'm going to live the rest of my life. But times and troubles and challenges of life come on. Troubles come on and you look around and you realize it's not like it was. Folks, I want to tell you, there's been a lot of times I've had to come back and say, Lord, I need a renewal. I had to come right back into the middle of the herd. You know, I'm so thankful that the times that I've went down to pray, and some of you know this, you feel that arm go around you. That's somebody in the herd that's caring for you. Brother Richard sings, if you would stand to your feet, this is a special time. Time that we're open. Of course, the altar is always open, but if you want to talk to God, please come and let God do what only God can do in your life. Right now, as he sings.
Build by me. There it stood. I can live my life.